How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen.
Tom, that was very slow this morning.
Well, I thought I'd do it in a sort of American morning TV presenter way.
Oh, like a Good Morning America vibe.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to... People, I think, in America in the morning, they like it authoritative.
Authoritative and slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm living and learning.
Well, that's my impression anyway, and that's largely based on Anchorman. So
sure.
It's not, you know, it's not particularly factual.
No, I think Anchorman is, I think it's based on a true story.
At one point I thought it was a documentary. But, you know. You know me.
How have you been, Tom? It feels like the world, I mean, we started doing Like-Minded Friends live from lockdown, around 1,000 weeks ago now?
I think it was something like 1,000, maybe 1,200 weeks ago.
Sure.
And now, what is that, like 20 years ago?
20 years ago.
And I have to say, it's been a real journey. It's sort of, I didn't go out on Saturday when, for listeners listening in the future or the past, that was when the pubs opened in England, was Saturday, with social distancing. I didn't go out though. Because it was Dad's birthday, and I said to him, do you want to go out to a restaurant? And he said, that would be mob-handed. So we didn't go.
Well, I also didn't go out. But I find the whole thing a bit scary. But I don't. I think, I mean, people can do as they please. But I'm still a bit scared to go into a pub. But I did see, I walked past like a bar restaurant type place on the north bank in London. I was out for a bike ride, right near where Tower Bridge is, and they have little domes where people will have.
Seen this.
Yeah,
and was
like
that
your
that
own little dome?
Well, that looks like fun. Is it like those things that, like those big ball inflatable ball things that
you can like run on the water in?
Yeah, like that sort of thing that people do on like a stag party.
Yes, it's nothing like that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Good. Right. Good. But there were room for 8 people, and I thought, some of them just had 4, and you think, well,
what a waste.
That's very difficult if you want to go out for dinner with a friend, but you don't want to invite someone else. I mean, limiting people to 4.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the bubbles, isn't it?
It's all about the bubbles.
Yeah.
Who's in your bubble?
Well, my brother.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's very, very unusual. Very, yeah, very exciting one. So it's not like.
No, mine is just as. Mine's just Alice and the cat, I think.
Yeah, that's best.
I think just Alice and the cat. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We're in our own little bubble, having a lovely time.
Yeah, that's. Well, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? We all went like, okay, we've got to stay indoors. We've got to take this seriously, stay indoors. Now they're like, you don't need to take it seriously. You can go out now. And you go, no, I just got used to taking it.
I'm not sure about being outside.
I mean, I know we still have to take it seriously. I know that. Have you managed to do any activities out of the home, though, in the last little while, Suze?
Well, Tom, I am allowed now to. You're allowed to see a personal trainer.
Thank God. Workers are back.
So I've in her garden.
Oh, she's got a garden. That's nice.
She's got a garden. Yes. Yeah. And so she's a CrossFit instructor.
She's really angry, but very toned.
Really furious, but very fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Very CrossFit.
And she's doing workouts in her garden with the barbell, which is the bar that you put the weights on. You know, like the strong man would use.
Yes. The bars are now open, of course.
So I've done that twice, which felt
sort of weird at first, being like, I'm in a stranger's garden. Are we allowed to do this? But we are. But and then I just realised that since I've been in lockdown, I've lost all of the strength that I built up from doing a year of CrossFit.
No.
Yes.
Really? You'll get it back quick. I think it comes back quick.
I think I might, but all my technique's gone out the window. It's actually, I'm finding it a lot harder than I thought I was going to. And I'll be honest with you, that's quite annoying.
Well.
I thought, I'll snap back into this.
Give yourself a chance, love.
Give yourself a chance, love.
That's the thing about the lockdown. We've got to learn to love ourselves. We've got to learn to be kind, understanding when we aren't perfect. None of us are perfect.
That's true. Right? That's true.
That's what we all learned, right? I mean,
right.
Spending all that time on my own without the distractions of the wider world. Oh God. But I think, yeah, just give yourself a chance. Do it at your own pace and you'll be fine. Well, I like it. I like any trainer who says...
He's fit.
I love it when they're fit. I just like any trainer. And that includes the shoes.
Of course.
I love a sneaker.
What is the difference between trainer and sneaker? Do you know?
I feel like Australians say sneaker.
Right.
What do they say in America?
I think Americans say sneaker.
Oh, they say sneakers. Sneakers.
Sneakers.
Great.
Do you know what the difference is?
No. Do you?
No.
And then
Do write in.
Somebody talked about creeps. Is that an expression?
Creeps.
Is that the only way it's Essex? The only way it's Essex, is it?
Isn't that like creeping on someone, like perving on them?
Oh yeah, like a creep, like, oh, he's such a creep. But
or,
I thought, isn't it,
if you're being a bit of a creep, as in like, you know, if you're like trying to get someone to like you, do you call that a creep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's all from the same sort of world of kind of creepy people.
Creepers are a shoe as well, aren't they?
Well, that's what I mean. Is that like a brothel creeper? Is that what they call it?
A brothel
creeper,
yeah.
That's sort of like spongy. That's in the 50s.
Yeah, they're really thick soles. I used to have a pair, actually. I used to wear them on stage.
Yeah.
I look like a duck, I think.
Why?
Because they made my feet look very long. And of course, I'm a size 12 and a half, so I don't need any help doing that.
Of course, you look like a clown. No, you didn't. You didn't look like it, and you didn't look like it. I never saw you on stage and was like, oh my God, is that a duck? Oh no,
Susie. Can you imagine if you did? How would you bring that up with me?
Susie, I need to speak to you. When I walked into the room and I saw you on stage, I thought you were a duck. What do you think about that?
I think you need to speak to a therapist.
Yeah, and then I'd be like...
And stop drinking.
Okay, and I'd be like... I don't know why. I'm not even booked for this gig. Yeah.
What are they called brothel creepers because of brothels?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't alive in the 50s, but maybe. Yeah, maybe people were constantly...
Not?
Well, I was in my mind, in my spirit. Sure. But I think that, were they creeping around? Were they... I don't know. Why did people creep in and out of brothels?
Because they didn't want their wives to see?
Were their wives... Were their wives in the situation in the next
room?
Because
their wives might have been spying on them.
Their wives
from a car
spying.
In the distance.
A car? Yes. In the 50s. A massive car it would have been as well.
Humongous.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
know. Well, I hope that helps. Also, wouldn't, if that's what they're called, it would be tricky to go into a shop, wouldn't it, and say, I would like some brothel creepers.
Just the brothel creepers on the left, please. Why do you think this?
It's like you're saying, I don't know, it's just being very loud.
Where is the nearest brothel, you're basically saying? Do we say brothel?
Do you think when you buy brothel creepers, they give you a local map with all the local brothels on it?
That would be nice. A map, a fold-out map.
Fold-out.
Nice fold-out map. Of places of interest. Maybe a walking tour.
Maybe.
Got the stamina.
Like the Jack the Ripper one.
Like the Jack the Ripper one, which I've never done. I've never done any of that. I like a ghost tour. I don't know if I fancy a Jack the Ripper one.
It feels a bit bleak. No, I've done a few... like walking tours. I did one in Edinburgh. I think we spoke about that before on the pod.
Yes, of course, yes.
Because we've spoken about everything. That is the thing.
Now, thank God we're allowed out of lockdown because now we can talk about new things.
Thank
barbells
God.
Barbells in the garden.
Barbells being in the garden.
Barbell, bell, barbell.
Barbell, barbell, barbell.
We should bring out an album, a like-minded friends album.
We
like-minded
should.
Friends at Christmas.
We used to sing a lot more on the show, I think. There was a period where I would just burst into song, I think.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that works with the law. Are we?
Oh, I've been arrested numerous times, but I refuse to stop doing it.
In flagrant breach of copyright, or whatever it would be. Copyright.
Always flagrant.
Always flagrant. Flagrant. It's a good word, isn't it? Flagrant.
It is, yeah.
What is it? It just means like, it just means overt, doesn't it? Sort of.
Yes.
Like, in your face.
In your face.
Flagrant brothel creepers. Susie Ruffle. Yeah.
So, Tom, we're talking about hobbies and what we've been up to, and obviously we naturally moved on to brothel creepers.
What have you
been doing?
Well, apart from wearing my brothel creepers, apart from going to brothels, no, I have not.
Are they back open again?
I don't know. I think you have to do it outside.
Are they key workers?
You have to keep a meter's distance.
That's very tricky.
Very tricky, I imagine. Very tricky. But, I don't know how.
But I'm sure that's someone's thing, isn't it? There's always somebody.
Look, if there's a way with that sort of thing, if there's a way, somebody's found a way to do it.
Someone's found. If there's a will, there's a way.
Probably.
And when I say will, I do mean Willie.
Yes, indeed. Your last
Keeping
Willian
it
testament.
High brow.
Yeah. I'm just going to light a scented candle.
Please do. What scent is it?
This is the brothel. Neom. I mean, it's brothel scented. Oh, you see, I'm using a Jo Malone.
Tom, we all know you're doing all right.
Matchstick box. No, well, the candle's long since gone, but I like the box, so I'm refilling it with Bryant and May matches from downstairs, where we keep them by the hob, because even though I'm just blowing out the match, because my mum and dad bought a new oven, they bought one that manages to not light. So we have to have matches there like it is the 1950s.
Lovely.
But I have a neon happiness candle that was sent to me. Triple wick. I recommend a triple wick.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, really gets the old scent going.
So other than lighting candles, what have you been up to, Thomas?
Well, I'm entering the final stages of this book I've been working on.
So I didn't realise, so you announced it at the end of the podcast last week, but I didn't realise we were talking about it. So let's talk about it. So how's it been going? I mean, you're the only person. Sorry, I keep asking you a question and then interrupting you, which has flagrant disregard for your flagrant. But I was going to say, I'm so impressed because you've written a book in lockdown. I mean, it's what we all said we were going to do.
It was sort of the latter part of lockdown. And it's been nice to do it in the two sort of sections of the lockdown. In the early part, it was nice to have lots of time to reflect and think and stuff. But actually, the most important thing with a book is that you write it.
Yeah.
So it's all very well being like, I'll just think and maybe look out the window
quite
a lot for a few days.
I'm thinking about it.
Yes. And then latterly, it's become a lot more. Just write it. And it's kind of, as I say, entering the last phases of it now, but getting it onto the page is the bit it's like we said before, I think thinking can often be the enemy because we overthink things and go, well, if I do that, will that result in this? If I do this, will this mean that? And just do it. And then, then you can obviously improve it. So that's sort of that's how I found it. But it is, most of the time I've actually really enjoyed it and I haven't found it as daunting as I thought I would because you just break it off bit by bit and then you write bits and then, you hope that you're being funny enough and at the same time honest enough.
I'm sure you are. And we've had quite a lot of people get in touch actually, Tom, since you mentioned it on the old podcast last week. Saying that they're really excited to read your book. Someone was asking if it's going to come out in Australia.
I hope so. Yeah, I think that would be the ambition.
Hopefully, yeah.
And we are making an audiobook of it.
That's the other thing that people were asking. So they want to hear your voice.
Oh yes, we are doing that now. I think that's de rigueur with books these days, isn't it? Because everybody listens. I know I listen to them on so many books on audiobook.
Yes, me too. Would you like me to come to the studio with you and just keep interrupting you?
I think that would be the only way people would find it acceptable. So yes and yes.
Marvellous.
I would love that. And you can ask the questions that other people will be asking. Like, what do you mean there? What is that?
Yeah, like, what is that?
What
are
was
you
he
trying
hinting
to do
at there?
Here?
Why are you...
Who is that boy that you're not naming? That sort of thing. Would you like that? Could we have his postal details? What's his name on Facebook?
Yes, all of this.
All of that will be readily available. What did you pitch it as? What's it about?
Well, I wanted to write about myself. I wanted to write about shame, because I think it's such a currency, you know. We talked about it on this podcast, and I realized as well, it's as well as much to do with shame around sexuality, but as well how shame it manifests in other parts of our existence. And so kind of like shame around class, or shame around education, or shame around just general behavior, as well as sexuality, as well as everything else, and how kind of that can creep into our mind. It can brothel creep into our minds. And so I sort of wanted to talk about that. And I suppose it's about me coming to terms with my sexuality, but also me coming to terms with being an eccentric, which, guess what? I do think I am a little bit eccentric, and certainly was as a child/teenager/person.
Young adult/older gentleman.
Older gentleman.
Much older. Daddy.
A daddy. So, an eccentric daddy. So that's what I've been writing about.
I'm really interested in the shame around education, because I've often felt that, especially in like our industry.
Oh, yeah.
Where like you're so frequently like there's so many people that went to like Oxford or Cambridge or Durham or one of those big fancy pants universities where everyone's very clever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
And I've always felt quite sort of jealous that I wasn't like naturally academic, so I couldn't go and be sort of part of that.
I think, two things. I think it's interesting that I think everybody has a form of that feeling of like, whether it's to do with education or it's to do with, you know, whatever. Everybody sort of has these kind of like, this sort of voice in our head that's like, well, you're not as good as everybody else. Like, it's terrible, isn't it? That voice is there. But like, but I think, there are a lot of people who kind of breathed through university, and I didn't go either. And I think for people who did go, they go, it's not such a big deal. But if you didn't go, you go, it must have been the biggest deal.
Yeah, I think so. And I think just creating those sort of friendship groups that sounded like sort of very excited when you hear about the sort of, because I'm about to drop a name. I did a radio show with Helen Fielding the other day, the writer of Bridget Jones.
Of course. Oh,
Clang.
Wow. Clang.
And she was talking about sort of her gang at uni being sort of Rowan Atkinson and Richard Curtis.
Oh, wow.
You sort of think, oh, yeah. Like, I mean, obviously those people weren't huge stars then. But you sort of go, oh, yeah, there must have been this sort of vibe of like, I assume we're all going to do very well. Do you think?
I guess it's to do with friendship as well, isn't it? If you feel like, you know, you can, well, hopefully that's what we do a little bit with ourselves with this podcast.
Sure.
If you feel like you have friends and you feel like you can, you feel more, what is the word I'm trying to say? Like,
I don't know. Strident. Are you okay? Have you run out of words?
I've run out of words I've run out of the words. So you feel more enabled. Enabled?
Yeah.
To have, to, you know, you sort of feel like, oh, they're doing this. I can maybe do this. Why can't I? You know, and I think that's it, isn't it?
About whereas I've often come to things and been like, they're doing that. I suppose that makes sense. I'll go back over here.
Well, I mean, I've done that too, yeah. Or that kind of, the artist's way, if anybody's ever done that book with the books, she's often going on about like
going on.
She's always going on in that book about scarcity of like, if somebody does one project, that means that's it done. Or if somebody gets that role or that job fulfilled. And it's like, there are lots of jobs. There's enough for everybody. It's not a, you know, like kind of doing things is not the same as like using up oil. It's not, do you know what I mean? It's not a finite thing. There's always more fun things that people can do.
I think that's a really good thing to think, because I think I've often been that person that's thought, oh God, you know, that this thing exists and therefore I can't do that, or I can't get that part, or I can't write a sitcom because someone's done something that's similar, or I can't write that book. I think it's really good to sort of remind yourself that people bring new stuff. You can bring new stuff to think. Like, how many times have they staged Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And what I'm suggesting is that I am the next Shakespeare, thank you.
I mean, I didn't want to say that, but yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that, yeah, you are.
thank you, Thomas.
And that's, you just got to believe. If only you believed. No, but I think if, yeah, but I think that's sort of true, isn't it? That there's always, and even if you try and copy something completely, you'll never will.
No.
And we're all, what is there something about like good, bad artists steal good artists?
No, I think it's bad artists do something good artists steal.
Yeah, that's it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It must be so frustrating for our listeners that know what we're talking about, the word we're trying to find, the phrase that we can't seem to put our finger on.
You mean this? You mean this? Yeah, they must be shouting it at their radiograms.
Because someone got in touch that they're speaking back to us. When I said I didn't know what to do with radishes, they suggested popping them in a salad.
Yeah, pop them in a salad. Yeah, that's true, though. Yeah, that is, I mean, well, you know, what is the world other than people just shouting at each other and nobody hearing?
So, that is very much what the world is.
But I have lost the ability to form sentences outside of writing the book. I like syntax and stuff.
Are we worried about this?
No.
No, are we leaning in?
Leaning in to the new speak, yeah. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, outside of the book, I can't think of words a lot of the time, like as you just heard.
As I just heard.
Well, but people are joining in, and that's lovely. And we did get a nice tweet from someone saying, oh, it's like they're my real friends, and then I realise. And I said, no, you are our friends.
Yeah, you are our friends.
You know, it's okay, we're all here.
Actually, on that, quite a few people have got in touch on the old email to say they've been enjoying it. And let's just do a few little shout-out thanks for getting in touch. See, a lot of people got in touch to say they also get itchy carrot mouth.
I didn't see these messages. Oh, well, so there's a community of us.
Friends email. So it's called Oral Allergy Syndrome.
Oh my God, what? So many jokes. Yes.
So many jokes. And this has come from James, who in brackets called himself a chunky, ginger, bearded guy with kind eyes, with a little winky face. Hi, James.
James, hello. And itchy carrot mouth. Okay.
So you could date and not eat carrots together.
Yeah.
Is that something that maybe we should look into?
That is something I've always dreamed of. I never thought it was possible until now.
Hannah Cowburn also got in touch to say that she gets itchy apple mouth.
Itchy apple mouth. Yes. Oh, no, it's a thing.
Abby Stanford also gets itchy carrot mouth.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like...
been accompanying her on her domestic chores, which I really enjoyed.
Oh. Mm.
Helena Irvin got in touch to say that we were talking about swimming in Australia. She's not been swimming in Australia, but she is sea swimming in Jersey.
It's not the same, but sure. Lovely.
It's definitely not the same. But, and Jane Moody is also a fan. So we've had, and Pete King got in touch to tell us about a sandwich loaf. I'll forward the picture to you, Tom. You will love it.
So Jane and Peter, do they have any kind of itchy carrot mouth or itchy mouth syndrome?
No, they're nothing. Not part that's of that. That's just about community. A massive sandwich. And Jennifer
I feel like a charity foundation coming on. Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Buckland got in touch and she said that she was listening to this week's podcast on a cold Saturday afternoon in Melbourne.
Oh.
And she loves the podcast and she was the person asking if it was going to be Australiable, available in Australia or Australable.
Australiable, I think, is a great term. Australiable.
We haven't used Melge for a long time.
And that sounds like that's something to do with Melbourne now in that context.
Yes, you're Melging Australiable in Melbourne.
Melging would be like the combination of something from Melbourne with something from somewhere else, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes.
Melging. We're just melging these few things together.
We're just melging. A lot of people have been in touch with them to say how excited they are about your book, and I want to second that. I mean, all of your stand-up shows for about the last 6 years, 7 years, I just know it's going to be something really brilliant. And so,
That's a very, very kind thing.
The pre-order link is on the previous podcast page, so you can find that. And it's also on my Twitter and Tom's Twitter. Obviously, it's on Tom's Twitter, but it's also on mine. And you can pre-order now, so you've got your copy.
Straight away.
Now,
for some
reason,
it's rated in the animals and dogs section of
yeah,
book
I
listings.
Actually got in touch with them to do that.
Oh, thank you. That's been good for me. Yeah.
That's been great for you. I sort of think of you as a whippet.
Bless you for that. I appreciate it.
I knew you would. I knew you would.
Very much.
The final thing that we should discuss very quickly. We are doing a Like-Minded Friends Live on Sunday.
Yes.
And the link is all over Twitter and different things. And maybe we'll put a link in this page of this podcast. But we've got two fabulous guests, which we're very excited to share with you. And we also have some front row seats where you could chat to us. And we were thinking a nice way of doing it. I don't know what you think about this, Tom. Mm-hmm. Maybe if people are really keen to get those front row seats, so you could maybe have a bit of a chat with us, or you could show us something, or we can have some fun with
you. Not like that. Don't start showing us things.
No, I don't want to start seeing things.
Come on. I know what a lot... I mean, a lot of people have used the internet for terrible things, so do not.
Don't do that. Enough of that sort of thing on there, isn't there? If you want to see something like that, you can just Google that.
There are options, yeah.
There are options. But if you've bought a ticket and you would like to be someone that's in the front row, just tweet at us, front row, and we'll put all those names into...
A hat?
I mean, it won't be a hat, it'll be to our producer, and they'll pick a few people to come on the... to be in the front row, and we can talk to you.
Not to come on the front row.
Oh, Tom.
Well, I'm just, you know what people are like. Come. Craig Hill. Oh.
That's Craig Hill's show title, which is just hilarious.
Craig Hill's show title.
So funny. What was the other one? Blown by a fan.
Blown by a fan. Oh, there's so many of his show titles.
They're so funny. But yes, if you've bought a ticket for the show, or if you're one of the NHS people who can get a ticket for free, just send us a tweet that says front row. And we'll maybe have a bit of a chat to you, see what you've been up to in lockdown. Mm. It'd be really nice to meet some of you over the Zoom. And if you'd like to ask us a question, we'll be doing a Q&A session because it was so much fun last time.
We really enjoyed it.
It was really fun. And if you want to do that, just use the hashtag LMFLive.
Yeah, that's right, which we are pretty sure is not linked to any kind of other organisation.
It might be some sort of kinky thing, but we're fine with it. We're just leaning.
We're fine. Just lean in. Just lean in. That's the thing now, isn't it? People say, just lean in.
Lean in.
Just lean in. A bit like people used to say minger, didn't they? Do you remember people used to say minger?
Yeah.
Then it went, real minger. So horrible.
So cruel. God, I'm so pleased I'm not at school anymore.
Yeah, me too. Because we would be very odd.
We would be very old. And we would have been kept back so much that it would become a concern.
I think that would be a real concern.
I think it'd be a real concern for everyone involved, if I'm honest.
It would be beyond a novelty. Yeah.
I think that's everything.
Yes.
Hopefully that all made sense. Buy Tom's book, come to Like-Minded Friends, use the hashtag LMFLive if you want to ask a question, and tweet
us front row
if you want to be in the front row. And also, what were you saying?
Be careful in the rain.
It's been
drizzling quite a lot, so just be careful. I know a lot of you haven't been out of the house for a while, so...
I had to do barbell in the rain. Can you imagine such a thing?
Oh, barbell in the rain. Someone left my barbell in the rain. Lovely song.
A lovely number to finish the show with.
It's great to finish on a song, isn't it? So, yes. But hopefully we'll see you on Sunday.
Hopefully we will. And we'll chat to you next week on Like-Minded Friends.
Yes, we will.
We always will. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye for now, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.